to this next edition. I believe this is episode 3 of the Just Another Priest podcast by Father Kyle Schnipple. The last podcast, I told my vocation story. Had a lot of fun with that. I hope you all enjoyed that story. And probably the question we get second most often in addition to how we became a priest is, especially for parish priests, diocesan priests, how do you write a homily? How do you construct the readings from what's presented for us week by week to what we hear you preach on a Sunday basis? And so I thought I'd take this episode and address that process, how I go about constructing a homily, how I go about writing a homily, putting it together. And I thought I'd share those thoughts with you today. And I hope you learn some things, kind of what I try to do with a homily. And remember, every priest does this different. So if your priest does it different, if he has different ideas, that's okay too. But I hope you enjoy. And so with that, I'll hit this button right here. The process of writing a homily, I would say, is probably as unique to every priest and deacon as his own personality. We all have our own unique quirks and processes for how we go about constructing, writing, forming, shaping a homily. And so I wanted to take a little bit of time just to describe how I go about the process of writing a homily. And for me, a homily for a weekend begins at least by the Tuesday of the week leading up to that weekend. So by that Tuesday, I'll have read over the readings for the coming weekend. I'll look at them, really try and sit with each one of the readings for a while. So I'll spend some time with Lectio Divina, reading over them, praying over them, looking at them, looking in depth at them, just trying to chew on them, maybe 10 to 15 minutes per each reading, trying to collect a thought or an idea of what's coming to me. How's the Lord speaking to me in those different readings for the coming weekend? For the Old Testament reading, I try to look to see, well, how is it connected in a typological way to Christ, to the New Testament, to the gospel reading in particular? Typology, looking at the Old Testament, trying to see the echoes and the shadows of how Christ is foreshadowed in that. So I'm trying to connect the Old Testament reading with the gospel reading in some way. And for ordinary time, that's how the Old Testament reading was really selected. It was selected in light of the gospel passage. The New Testament reading, the epistle reading, often from St. Paul's letters, those are often chosen independently of the gospel, at least for ordinary time. They're chosen independently of the gospel and the Old Testament reading. They're a series. So you'll hear from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians for a couple weeks in a row, for example, doesn't really have a connection with the gospel, at least in ordinary time. In Christmas, Easter, Advent, Lent, those readings are often chosen together. So I'll start that process myself. And then as a next step during a staff meeting that week or during other meetings during the week, we'll look at either the gospel reading or we'll sometimes look at all four readings, including the psalm for the coming weekend. And we take about 15 minutes during that meeting to discuss, to reflect, to spend time with, to chew on the readings, how they're speaking to us as a staff for that week too. So take my personal reflection and then the staff reflection. And often I can kind of collect some tips and tidbits from what the staff says that they have a different perspective than I do, how they link to the readings, how the reading speaks to them, or they make a connection between the readings and the present day, the readings and the work that we're doing as a parish, often in ways that I don't often see or don't often realize. And so I'll try and get some ideas from that, from those conversations as well. Third step that I do, I think to have a catechetical piece to a reading, to a homily is important as well. So I have a few resources that I look at that have catechetical links from these passages for the readings for this particular weekend to these paragraphs in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So I'll often look back and forth at those and try and pick an idea or a topic to just to see what kind of catechetical formational information I can put into the homily as well. And I want to take just a little bit of a side note here. I think that homily certainly needs to be catechetical, but it also its primary function is formational, informing the people of God to hear and respond to the Word of God. And so the most important question for me in forming and shaping and constructing a homily is to answer the question for the reader or for the listener, why is this information in the reading important to me, the listener, today in 2016, 2017, in the modern age? And so if I've not answered that question by the time I sit back down after a homily, I think I've failed. And so the catechetical piece is important because I think it helps shape that answer to that question, but it's not the only thing that's often going on. A second piece to the catechetical piece that I want to look at often is the historical piece, the historicity of what's happening in the Old Covenant reading, what's happening in that prophet that he's talking about, that shapes his writings for that piece. What's happening in the gospel passage that helps give us an understanding of what Jesus is doing in that passage as well. For example, when Jesus meets the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of John's gospel, that small little detail that she comes to the well at noon instead of at daybreak is an interesting detail because it gives us some insight. If we know that historically you collected water first thing in the day because that's when it was, you know, before the day got hot. If she's coming at noon, that means she's being shunned by the other women in her village. And so that gives us really interesting insight that we can pick up to see how Jesus is reaching out to someone that's shunned, as he so often does in the gospel. So I'm looking at how the gospel is speaking to me, but I'm looking at the catechetical information, the historicity of the gospel, the historical situation of the gospel. And I'm taking all three of those three pieces of the puzzle, and that's what I start to shape. So by Thursday or Friday of the week, the homily text, the main thread of the homily starts to take place in my brain, starts to take shape in my brain. And for me, it happens often somewhat passively. I'm doing a bunch of other things through the week, but I'm sort of letting the readings ferment in the back of my brain. I think of that image of a cow chewing on cud in a field. That's something that, as a good homilist, we often have to be about, and just reflecting on the readings, letting the word kind of come together as it's on its own. So if I get a spare moment, I'll be a little more active in that thought. But oftentimes that process of putting it all together happens passively in the back of my brain. And then finally, hopefully by Friday afternoon, all too often it happens on a Saturday morning for me, I sit down to actually write the homily, or I'll do this in a couple steps. Most of the time, that's a pretty easy process, especially if I have an intro, if I have a main point that I want to cover and have a way of concluding it, I can sit down and write it out. A seven-minute homily I can write out in less than a half hour most of the time. Sometimes it'll take me a lot longer to get it on digital paper. I'll sit and write for a bit. I have my intro, kind of have to take a step back, do something else, throw a load of laundry in the laundry or something like that. Come back to it, kind of churn through the next steps so that hopefully by noon on Saturday, I can get it all finished, get it all put together, wrapped up, get it transferred to my iPad. I use my iPad to preach at my parishes. I'll send it out. I email it to my friends, a couple friends who asked for it. I email it to my mom because, you know, you got to keep mom happy as well. And lately I'm starting a new thing with this podcast. I'm starting to record it as well, because I think it's important that a homily is a spoken medium, not a written one. So try to do all that by 3:30. I've wrapped everything up. Can let it germinate for a while. Got to get to church for confessions at 4, mass at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And that's when it goes live for the first time. And hopefully if I have to revise, I might revise a little bit on Saturday evening after Mass if I think I've really had a stinker. But then I try to get it together so that Sunday morning, the two Sunday morning Masses, I can give the same homily, or mostly the same homily. It always changes a little bit from Mass to Mass. And I usually go for about a seven-minute homily. About 600 words is what I hit for 7 minutes. Sometimes I'll go a bit longer, sometimes I'll go a bit shorter. But that's what I'm really trying to target for. And generally, I get some good comments on my homilies. I hope they feed the people of God as well. And just a closing thought as I wrap this episode up. Just keep your priests, your deacons, any of those who preach to you, keep them in your prayers, that they might be good stewards of the word that has been entrusted to them, and that the fruits of their prayer might bear good fruit in the hearts of their listeners as well. God bless, and I will talk to you soon when next I record. Bye-bye.